Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. One of the chief causes of religious division is the failure to rightly divide the word of truth, as we are taught in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. People do not handle the word of God aright. The scriptures can be handled wrongfully, or they can be handled correctly. Now, the Bible presents to us three distinct dispensations. A dispensation is simply a system by which God governs man. God is the same, but the systems by which he has governed mankind have not always been the same. There has been, for want of better identification, the patriarchal age, the Mosaic age, and the Christian age. And while we'll not take the time in this particular lesson to denote the distinctive characteristics of each one, we simply take note of this reality so we can move forward. Many have fallen into the error of combining these dispensations, failing to make the distinctions between them. They will take part of one and part of another and mix and mingle them, and the result is confusion and inconsistency, religious error and misunderstanding. And many false doctrines have their origin from this effort to combine the dispensations. False practices also come from that same source. For example, under the Mosaic system, the Jews were to observe the Sabbath day, which corresponds to our Saturday. Some today have taken the Mosaic age and attempted to bring that into the Christian age. The Jews were taught to tithe. Some teach tithing today as a part of the Christian faith. Some have special holy days and a special priesthood and instrumental music and other relics of an age no longer binding upon man. They have taken these things and they have employed them into the faith of Christ, for which there is absolutely no authority whatsoever for so doing. Now, many find themselves in the dilemma of taking part of the Mosaic law, but quite unwilling to take it all, very willing to leave portions of it behind. Well, they'll leave off the laws that demand animal sacrifices and pilgrimages to Jerusalem and the observance of the Passover, even the restrictions of travel on the Sabbath day, death to an adulterer by stoning, and many other such things. In reality, they have what we might call a supermarket approach to the Bible, picking and choosing what they prefer, taking what they happen to like, and leaving out what they do not want. They fail to note the differences between the covenants and the time of their validity and their authority. Some have even invented classifications of laws from the Mosaic law, calling them ceremonial laws and moral laws. And actually, the scripture does not make such a delineation, nor speak of the different times of their termination as some contend. Some laws are moral in nature, to be sure, and others are ceremonial. But the scriptures do not teach to set some aside and hold on to others. The only laws to be held under Christ that were held under the law of Moses are laws that Christ authorized, and they are to be obeyed because of him, not because they were given through Moses. Too many fail to separate these two systems. Christianity is not a Jewish religion. It is a new faith that has been founded on Christ as all authority. Now, we live and we're accountable to God under the Christian dispensation. The old law has been abolished, Ephesians 2:15. It's been taken out of the way, being nailed to the cross, Colossians 2 and verse 14. It was never a binding upon the Gentile people, and it is no longer binding even among the Jewish people to whom it was given. And Christ fulfilled the law, Matthew 5 and verse 17. And Paul wrote, "But before faith came," and that's talking about the faith that Jesus Christ is the author, "before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterward be revealed. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that the faith has come, we're no longer under a schoolmaster." Galatians 3:23 through 25. Paul wrote in Romans 7 and verse 4, "We are dead to the law, And he went on to show that even the law that says thou shalt not covet is included, the tenth of the Ten Commandments given to Israel through Moses on Mount Sinai. Now we're not to covet, but because Christ forbade covetousness, Romans 13 and verse 9. And some who make the unwarranted distinction between the ceremonial and the moral laws would bind the ceremonial law, the Sabbath observance, and this kind of inconsistency shows the fallacy of such a doctrine. The authority of God now is through Christ, Hebrews 1, 1 and 2. And all authority belongs to Him, Matthew 28, 18. He is the one that we are to hear rather than Moses or the prophets, Matthew 17, 5. In John 1 and verse 17, for the law came by Moses, but grace and truth by Jesus Christ. It is not the law of Moses by which we are going to be made free, but by the truth that came through Christ, John 8 and verse 32. Now to be sure we're not to murder, or lie, to steal, or commit adultery, but because of the authority of Christ, not because the law of Moses said don't do these things. Some of the teaching of Moses and Christ are almost identical, and other times they are very similar, and sometimes Christ has expanded upon what we have learned from the law of Moses. But still others teach quite differently. In Matthew chapter 5, ye have heard that it hath been said, Jesus said, but I say unto you, and then drew a contrast between what he taught and what his hearers had formerly heard. Paul, writing by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and according to the authority of Christ, pictures the relationship between the law of Moses and the law of Christ in Galatians 4, 21 through 31. In verse 21, Paul urges those that would still bind the old law to really listen to the law itself. It explains its own relationship to the new covenant of Christ. And in verse 24, he calls the relationship of Sarah and Isaac on the one hand, and Hagar and Ishmael on the other hand, an allegory, a figurative representation, a comparison, a means of conveying a truth symbolically. Abraham had two sons, one by Hagar, Sarah's handmaid, born of the natural law of procreation, and his name was Ishmael. He had another son, whose name was Isaac, born by Sarah, a child of promise, born unto his parents after they were beyond the years of childbearing, which was the result of an intervention by the Lord. And verse 25 and 26 tells us that these two women and their children represent the two covenants. Hagar and Ishmael represent the law of Moses, while Sarah and Isaac represent the law of Christ. And Paul says, now, brethren, as Isaac was, we are the children of promise. In other words, we are under the new covenant. Hagar is that which was given at Sinai. But Sarah is that which comes from Jerusalem, and that's where the doctrine of Jesus Christ had its beginning. Ishmael was older than Isaac, and Ishmael persecuted Isaac, Genesis 21 and verse 9. But this was more than Sarah would permit, and demanded that Hagar and Ishmael be cast out. In verse 30, cast out the bondwoman with her son. In other words, Ishmael was not to share in the inheritance with Isaac. And so it is, friend, with the two covenants. Those of the old covenant of Moses, the Jewish people, were persecuting the church as they followed the old law. But the old law would not share in the inheritance with those of the new law of Christ. The old law was to be cast out, just like Hagar and Ishmael were cast out. The old covenant was no longer God's will for any man, Jew or Gentile. The life, death, burial, and resurrection and ascension of Jesus Christ, the events on Pentecost, then brought to an end of that old law and then instituted the covenant through Christ, the perfect law of liberty, and forgiveness of sins is through Him. And the conclusion of this allegory is simply, so then, brethren, we are not the children of the bondwoman, but of the free. In other words, the way to serve God, the way to glory, the road to the home in heaven is Christ, not Moses, the way of the cross leads home. Now, this is not to say that the old law has no significance to us whatsoever. We're taught that it provides examples from which we are to learn, Romans 15:4, 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 10. And we learn much of the nature of God and his dealings with mankind from the events and the laws of former ages. Those things were given through Moses. They served their purpose, however. They accomplished what God intended them to accomplish. Even so, having served its turn in the gradual unfolding of God's scheme of salvation through Christ, it is no more the law under which children of God are to live and to serve. While various principles of truth are found in both laws, and that remains, the specific ordinances of God are now given by the authority of his Son. And unless mankind recognizes this distinction, we will continue to have the mixture of the two covenants and the confusion in religion that dominates so much of the religious thought. The old law could not accomplish salvation because the blood of animals cannot take away sins, Hebrews 10:4. But the blood of Christ can and does take away sins, Hebrews 9:12. It was the law that defined sin. It condemned sin, but it did not make provision for the removal of sin, demanding sacrifices year by year, day by day, to, as it were, roll sins forward to the cross of Christ. But the sacrifice of Christ, once, was sufficient to provide for the forgiveness of sins. Friend, the allegory of the covenants is really an inspired revelation through Paul on the subject of religious authority. What we do is to be done in the name of Christ, by the authority of Christ, Colossians 3 and verse 17, to whom God has given the preeminence in all things, Colossians 1 and verse 18. And we cannot borrow from other dispensations and be loyal to the authority of Christ any more than we can borrow from other religions and mix them up with New Testament Christianity. Let us learn, then. Salvation is not through any other than Christ, Acts 4 and verse 12. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, Jesus taught, John 14:6. So let us heed what the Lord above has said. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.